Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio on this Monday, the 12th of March. What a date. 12-3-12, that's beautiful. I'm not really one for numerology, but I think it's another magical date, and we have many this year to come, and we already did have many magical dates. Today we invite you, as every Monday, to take away some inspiration for your soul growth during the next 55 minutes. And we have a guest today, a fellow radio host, spiritual healer and teacher, Jeremy MacDonald. I'm looking forward to talking with Jeremy later during the show. For now, I'd like to invite you to call in and talk to us. And here's the numbers. The toll-free number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And for the U.S. and Canada, 530-327-7602. That's line 1, 530-327-7602, or line 2, 530-413-4510. Hi, Jen.
Okay. All right. Keep talking, Barbara.
Okay. So that's line 2, and let me repeat that one.
Oh, there I am.
Okay. You're there. I can hear you.
Uh-oh.
I can hear you all right. Okay,
good,
I'll keep on.
Because it looks like my Skype connection. Okay, good. I don't know what happened here, but it looked like I kind of went offline there for a minute. So
you're here.
I'm here. Hi.
Jan.
Hi, everyone. This is Jan. And once again, we are delighted to have you join us in this sacred space, coming to you from northern Germany and from southern Oregon. It is our pleasure to be with you. In case you can't tell, we both love being radio hosts and being on the radio. We got to be guests on a radio show last week, and that was really fun, too. But we're excited to have this time with you right now to share with you, to answer your questions, to hear your input, and also to talk with our guest today, Jeremy. It's going to be really exciting. I have a feeling that we're not going to have to ask Jeremy too many questions because I know that he's going to be able to carry a conversation all by himself. But that's all right. That's all right.
And
we can work that.
Right on cue, he's with us now.
He's with us. All right. Good deal. Good. Hi, Jeremy. Well, that's all right. We can wait for him. So, Barbara, we wanted to go back to you for an introduction.
I think I can hear Jeremy now. Jeremy, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. This is Jan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well.
So. All right.
Good. So, Jen, you want to fire away? Get this man in?
Get him in? All right. Yeah. Well, we first of all, I have to – so, Jeremy, you've been in a meeting today, right?
Yeah, I was actually in my day job in a meeting, and I ran outside to do the interview. So.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay.
Know.
And what is your day job?
I work for an insurance company for the next month until I resign and go totally into my spiritual business.
Oh, do they know you're resigning, or was this now you're making
exciting.
It public
they,
right now?
Oh yeah, they know. So I told them about 2 weeks ago. So.
Okay.
But they're very happy. They're very happy for me. So.
Oh, that
congratulations
was for you.
Yeah, this is very exciting. I'm very excited. So, but you know.
Well, what is your spiritual business, Jeremy?
Basically, the gist of it's called the Lamplight Group, and the basis of our group is to empower people to live with through their soul and empower them to live in oneness with themselves and understand who they are, and we actually call it practicing the awareness game and getting deeper inside of themselves and understanding more who they are and looking at the world as an opportunity as opposed to being in a victim mindset of, you know, thinking things are working against you. And so we've created the basis of the name is Lamplight Group, to be the light of the world and emanate that onto the world and be a witness of that as well. So that's that's it. You know, I do what's called soul work and help people heal themselves and heal the blocks within themselves and do a lot of self-healing. And so that's the nature of my business.
So is
and
this
you have a radio show as
okay.
well. Sorry.
What's that?
You have a radio show as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a radio show called Soul Talk, and I'm an owner in the radio station that produces it. And the whole part of that is actually called V109 FM, or stands for Victory 109 FM. And so we it's a place for people to come and tell their stories and be empowered to speak out the truth about their lives and live their passion. So that's it's just an offshoot of what we're already doing.
Jeremy, is the work that you're doing, is it a religious-based, or is it does it have a particular philosophy behind it, or is it a pretty is it comprehensive, or what? Tell us a little more about it, please.
Well, basically, I mean, I've studied quantum physics and the awakening of consciousness, and you know, religions of all different types, and healing work, and you know, and different different modalities with that. But my realization one day was that we just have to follow our heart. And I've had great conversations with scientists, and I found that the scientist that is studying quantum physics is one of the most spiritual people I've ever met. And in the reality, we're following our own path to become whole. And so I wouldn't necessarily consider the organization religious, but more spiritual. And we actually call it a spiritual light movement as opposed to being a religion, because it's we want people to follow and be empowered to follow their path and understand and be in the heart and live through the heart in love and be compassionate and understanding and speak their truth. And, wherever that comes from, they have to find that within themselves. So I don't know if I would consider it religious or it's more of an empowerment group that helps people empower them to live their lives.
That's beautiful.
So, I have a question for you that's kind of been on my mind here all day. Would you mind going back to maybe to childhood or back beyond anyway and tell us how you got to where you are today and what was it? I mean, obviously, this is a passion for you. How did you discover this as a passion?
That's a really good question, because my book is releasing on April 2nd, and that's actually the whole first four chapters is about that. and basically I was raised by a single mother, and I have a father, but I was born when he was 15 and my mom was 16 in 1974. And so I lived with a mom that always told me that you can do anything you want as long as you put your mind to it. And but she had a lot of accolades of the world, but inside what we discovered as adults when I became an adult, and and the fact that she's only 16 years older than me, it was, wasn't a big age gap. We had discovered that she had a very low self-esteem, and until later on in life when she discovered herself. And so as a result of the things that I picked up from her and from people around me and the victim mentality I had created within my world, I had had a drug addiction and many other things, and then because I was trying to avoid who I was, and I had went on this life of trying to make a lot of money so I could take care of my mother, because I saw her going without when I was younger. And so one day I was 32 years old, and I looked in the mirror and I thought, I really don't like myself right now. And I started asking myself questions of how did I get here? And I looked back, and the more deeper I got into it, I realized I'd spent a whole life living to make other people happy, to make them successful, and constantly avoiding what Jeremy really wanted. And then I had to ask myself, well, what is it that made you really, really happy? And what really, really made me happy was helping people bring a light bulb on inside of themselves. And so I started on that mission, and then I got a mentor that looked at me, and she says, well, yes, except you have to learn about what you have to heal yourself first before you can empower other people. And you have to understand all those blocks within you before you can help people with their blocks. And so I've had to go in there and look at my mirrors and look at the people around me and look at the things that was getting me angry inside. And then it just became about literally just living life and being a witness of what I was living. And I didn't really understand that word witness until probably about 2 years ago, and it hit me. I was like, well, a witness is just living your life and enjoying your life and living in a balanced state and allowing other people to see that, not even being afraid to be that light of the world. And so that's, I started doing that, and then it hit me. I was like, well, life is really just this big playground of enjoyment, and if we just look at it and enjoy it, then that's what it is. And even the opportunities that make us go, whoa, and want us to back up, those are really, if you look at them in a different perspective, they're just opportunities for us to get deeper into ourselves. And so it really started with a wake-up call I had at about 32, and I called at that time, about a six-month period. I lost my house. I lost my job. I lost my relationship. All my stuff was stolen from me. And I had my car repossessed and several other things. And I called that the cosmic 2x4 up the side of the head to say, it's time to start looking deep into yourself. And some people would call that the dark night of the soul, where you have to walk through hell before you can find heaven. And so I started looking into my shadow and looking into who I was and loving it as opposed to shaming it. And it's just a different feeling. So that's really where it came from.
So how long have you been doing this work, the helping people to discover themselves?
I mean, technically, I've been doing it for, even before I had that wake-up call, I was a life coach and a motivational speaker in corporate America. And then it was about 6 years ago that I really started getting into, I was teaching it, but I wasn't practicing what I was teaching in my own life. I don't know if that makes any sense. And then about 6 years ago, when I lost everything, and then I started looking at it and saying, well, wait a second, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching here. And it was even, what made that even more enjoyable is then I was going out teaching on a spiritual level as opposed to corporate America, and I felt like nobody was listening to me. And Spirit came to me one day and said, that's because they don't believe you, because you're still not practicing. Mm-hmm. And so then Spirit started guiding me on a way to practice and look at the world and look at those mirrors and get deep into yourself. And so it just, you know, changed. That's where it started really changing.
Okay.
So since when do you have such a good connection with Spirit? Like, when did it dawn on you, or when did it become clear that Spirit's talking to you?
I mean, I've always heard Spirit all my life, but the real definite truth came when I really started having a relationship with my inner spirit. And so, I mean, I've always, you know, I was doing psychic work for years, and I could hear Spirit. What I really found is that when I got really still inside and really paid attention to that inner spirit, that's when I started really hearing that loving voice inside of you. And that's been, you know, that's been gradually getting stronger over the past 6 years. You know, we all have it. We just have to get quiet enough to listen.
So. Yeah, and do you feel there's a difference between listening to this voice and hearing it?
No. Because, yeah, I mean, the listening and hearing to me is just, it's just paying attention to that that stillness inside of you. There is a harsh voice, and then there is a inner divinity voice. And the harsh voice is the one constantly, the mind chatter telling you what you shouldn't be doing and what you couldn't be doing. And then the soft voice is the one that's guiding you and allowing you to make that free will choice, but just giving its observation and helping you. I don't see a difference between listening and hearing it now.
Okay. And is it when you say you are talking with Spirit, or Spirit is talking to you, how does Spirit show itself? Is it somebody by name, or is it a group, or is it just Spirit in general?
It really depends. I mean, I've had what I would call them archetypes. You know, we all know, you know, like the Archangel Michael coming forward and talking to you. But then the experience I had, like I've had my mother talking to me since she transitioned. But one of the things that each one of them told me is that, yes, they are a personality or an archetype that comes through, but it's still all of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper that you get into yourself, you just understand that even I am an archetype, and so you're an archetype, and all of us are this personality that we've manifested in this physical body. But what they're showing me is that, yes, they come forward to us and talk to us in those names, but really it's the whole one consciousness that's talking
mm-hmm.
to you. And even beyond that consciousness, there's another one, and it's just, you know, it's really vast and beyond, I think, even what our own mind can comprehend. So,
yeah.
I would say, yes, I get names that come forward, and my human mind says, oh, okay, well, this is the Archangel Michael. So, but really, in reality, on a spiritual conscious level, on a higher consciousness level, I look at it as it's just all one consciousness.
Yeah, I think it, what you said, like the mind is able to grasp certain aspects at certain times, and sometimes it is important for the whole system of us being human that that spirit shows itself in a certain form, is what I believe, and sometimes it's okay if we just get a general message in inverted commas, where it's the conscious talking to us.
Yeah, and it's a good feeling. It's a really good feeling because when you understand all that, you feel so whole and understanding that it's consciousness working through you. And once I understood that, the loneliness that a lot of us get as humans ended. Because in those times, I always knew I was part of this vastness that is so far beyond what I could comprehend on a physical level. But if I just let go and sit in that still space, I can feel it. And it's all those times when I was running from that feeling and looking for it, it was always there. And I just had to stop and pay attention long enough and get still long enough to feel it.
So I'm just visualizing you standing outside the meeting room in this insurance company talking to us about these things. Is there people walking past you and you're getting strange looks, or is everybody used to you because you're authentically sharing everything in work, in your workplace?
Everybody's used to me because I do, and they've all read my book manuscript, but I actually walked outside and sat outside, and I'm actually in my car, so I didn't want to have people walking by and having the commotion of people talking. They all know me, though. I've done interviews in offices and in the building and stuff like that, and talked to people on the building, and I've recorded the YouTube videos in an office and stuff like that. So
okay.
That's just cool.
You know. The reason why I'm asking is because sometimes when we live in two worlds, or we think we live in two worlds because we still have this separation happening for some reason, it's kind of hard walking into the office, being authentic if people just have huge question marks in their eyes when something like the term soul consciousness comes out of us during our normal office day. And I think many people are still experiencing that because so many people are growing their soul and are working on their conscious awareness, and parallel they're still walking into the office because it's that safety or security of having this fixed income, providing for the family, providing for oneself, really. So can you share an inspiration about this, how to deal with this, living in two worlds?
I have to share with you, first of all, the experience I had of getting this job. I'll just like take a few seconds to do it, or a few minutes to do it. But in 2006, I was a vice president of a mortgage company, and I had the big income and all that kind of stuff. And then I went through after I lost everything, I didn't have anything. As a matter of fact, at 32, I had to move home with my mom, and so it was a huge blow to my ego. But I had to work through that. It was beautiful in a sense. And then when I'd gone through all these temp jobs and stuff like that, looking for work, and I was doing coaching and I was doing psychic work. And one day I said I wasn't going to do the psychic fairs anymore. I wasn't going to do that type of reading of giving future stuff and future predictions. I just wanted to work with the soul and help people listen to their own inner voice and teach people how to listen to spirit themselves and heal themselves. And so I made that choice, and for about a month and a half, I had no income at all whatsoever, not even a dollar to my name. And I said to the universe, and I said to God, I said, listen, it would be really cool, because I had meditated for that month and a half nonstop. I said, it would be really cool if I got paid to meditate. And what I got was a job at an insurance company that I'm a wholesaler, and I teach salespeople how to sell, but I only take like 3 calls an hour to teach them how to sell, and doing conference calls and stuff like that and meetings and teaching them. But basically, I spent an eight-hour day meditating or talking with you guys on Facebook groups. And so
okay,
for 3 years, what had happened is the assignment I had before that, it was a two-month job where I had to do collections for Chase. And I really didn't like it at all. I was like, wow, this is so beyond what I think as a spiritual person. But what I did is I stopped saying I'm a collector and started to say, this is my opportunity, because we're in a massive depression. And I was talking to people that were making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I was saying to them, I remember one lady, she said, we're moving out of our 7,000 square foot house, and we're going to move our children into this room at my brother's warehouse, because she'd lost everything, and her Hummer was getting ready to get repossessed and everything. And I said to her, ma'am, I know things are hard right now, but one thing I can tell you that I've learned is that when we hit rock bottom, the only way we can do is go up.
Right.
I said, so as long as your children have food in their belly, a shirt over their back, and they have a roof over their head, and you guys are safe, just appreciate that moment. And I realized in that moment I wasn't a collector anymore. I was actually practicing my healing business.
Mm-hmm.
And she started crying on the phone, and she gave me the payments, and we did all the business stuff and all that kind of stuff. But what really happened is that she got hope that things were going to change. And so I was like, if I just changed my focus and didn't look at myself as a collector taking from this woman that can barely even eat or feed her kids, I could actually help her through this. And she found the money. She called her brother and asked for the money to put into the account so that she could hold on to that car for one more month. And she was saying, I might need to let it go. And I said, well, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But you'll always be taken care of. And so that's how I changed my focus on these corporate jobs. And now I'm at a point where, you know, you'd mentioned we want to have that fixed income, but I'm just like, I know I'm going to be taken care of, and I have money to go forward to take care of me. So, you know, that's...
So there was never an issue for you that you had to put on some kind of mask when you walked into the office for the past few years, because you were practicing every day. And you were able to use your talents, your skills, your healer qualities really in your job. That's the perfect solution. And all because your affirmation or your manifestation or your prayer was, it would be cool to have a job where I could meditate. True?
Yep. That's true.
Cool.
That's true.
It's simple.
It is very simple. And I think we make life too hard. So I know there's spiritual teachers out there and healers that are working in jobs, and but practice your healing there, and then that becomes your training ground, your university, your college, to the other great things that you want to do, and because you have to be great in the moment, and then that changes your perspective.
Yeah, that works. That works for people that say are retired or are not working at the present time. Anything, students. Anybody who's still learning, maybe in an apprenticeship, maybe in school, like, yeah, just practice what your philosophy is, what your belief is, and use everything as your training ground.
Yeah.
I like that very much.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when I changed my focus, my world changed, because all it is a simple switch, fear or love. Are you going to live in fear, or are you going to live in love, or are you going to live in resistance or flow? And when you go with the flow and don't judge anywhere you're at, then everything becomes, I call it Disney World metaphysics, because I'm like, okay, think about the time that you walked into Disney for the first time, if you've ever been, and you see that castle and you see everybody around you, and you're a kid, and you look at it, and you're so excited. And you're like, where are we going to go first? But if you look at life that way, and you look at it as this amazing, beautiful experience in a playground, so to speak, or an experience or a laboratory, everything is going to be exciting to you. And so when I changed that, it was like I was a kid again. But a kid still understands its responsibilities, but it's not torn up by the fact that it has to worry about every little thing. It just knows that its mom and dad are going to take care of it. Hmm. And, you know, so in cases where they're unhealthy families, you know, so, but, you know, and there's always a divine plan, a divine purpose for everything.
Yeah, it's become like the children, and play. That's so important. And looking at the way children deal with situations, the situation arises, they are upset, they are angry, or they are happy, and then 2 minutes later, it's gone, and they just let it go because then they are so much in the present moment that they just focus on the next present moment, and everything else is history. They don't worry about a thing. And they learn this from the grown-ups. They learn this from society. So it's time to unlearn. Having two children myself, I know exactly what I'm talking about because they are such perfect mirrors of the words that I use. Because everything I say goes in there. They listen to me. They trust me. They look up to me because they're still young. So I want to be really aware of the things that I say, the things that I do, and the things that I think, because my kids are so tuned in that if I focus on a certain topic with my thoughts, they pick it up straight away. I mean, when there's children around us, look at the children, get in contact with them, talk to them, and look what are they reflecting back when they are in contact with us.
And then there are those of us who don't have children and who never had children and still have to look at how you get that mirror back. And for some reason, life does it. You know, it's you'll end up meeting somebody who mirrors back at you immediately. So there's I think the biggest question is, or the biggest challenge is being aware. And kind of like you said, Jeremy, being a witness for your life. So you have to look at your own life, not just at other people's lives, but look at your own life and constantly be looking at it and seeing, are you truly living an authentic style, lifestyle? But I wanted to ask you about your mother.
Okay.
You said that you moved back in with her in 2006, so her death was relatively recent.
January 9th, actually, of this year.
And how long was it before you actually started hearing from her again? You said that she's speaking with you now.
This is a cool story. I wrote a blog about it for our friend Carla Goddard's blog in January or February, actually. But it was January 9th. She passed away in her hospice room. And I was actually sleeping in the room with her. And before she actually transitioned out of the body, keep in mind she was a hospice nurse, so the hospice, her whole team decorated this room, and there were streamers everywhere and all that good stuff. And about an hour before she passed away, the streamers in the room started slapping the wall, and I was sleeping on the couch. And I woke up, and I heard her say, "Honey, if you want to say goodbye, you better do it now." And I've never been an early morning person. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm usually up for about 30 minutes, and then I go back to sleep until about 8 or 9. And on work days, I get up at about 8. And so I just laid there for a few minutes, and I was like, I just got to wake up just for a second. Well, her secretary knocked on the door, and I went to the door, and she was there, and she wanted to say goodbye to my mom, and she came in, and she said goodbye, and then as she left, I kissed my mom on the cheek, and I said, "Goodbye, Mom, I love you." And then I laid back down, and 20 minutes later, the nurses woke me up and said that she had passed. Well, then I'm walking around the room and kind of picking stuff up, and I'm calling family members and stuff like that, and I started, and I just teared up just for a minute, and I said, "Mom, you're not even going to get to read my book. And I just got done with it. And I heard her say, sweetheart, I taught you almost everything in that book. I already know what's in it. And I'm like, okay. And she was my Reiki master that taught me Reiki. And, you know, and she was a medical Qigong practitioner. And she taught me a lot of medical Qigong and all that other kind of stuff. And so I was like, you're right. And then then she had just started talking to me, and she was saying, Jared, remember the funeral home I told you about, go to them. Just follow your heart, but go to them. And then she started talking to me. She said, just relax, honey. It's going to be okay. You don't have to work hard. Well, throughout the week, all my medium friends, like 10 friends that are medium, called me up and says, your mom's visited me. She's been talking to me, and she says this. And then my friend Leah Clark, who's the director of Unity Music at Unity of Tampa, she called me up and she says, your mom came to me during my eye surgery today and held my head and sang to me. And she goes, she was wearing a mermaid dress. And she said, tell Jeremy it was a mermaid dress. And Leah goes, I have no idea what that means, but I felt like I needed to tell you because she told me. I said, well, what that means is that the day after the memorial service, she stepped into my body, and she said, Jer, this is how God works. And I stepped into the flow of the universe, and I didn't feel any pain. I felt like I was swimming through the cosmos. And I felt this tremendous amount of healing energy. And I remember at the time, I was like, send this to this person, and send this to this person. And she says, only if it's in their divine plan. She says, remember, you are not the healer in your physical body. You have to allow people to get their own healing. You are the facilitator of energy, and you have to let go to let it happen. And so I stood there, and then I started visualizing these people and saying, if it's only in their divine plan. And I literally felt my words, only if it's in your divine plan, ruptured throughout the universe. And that rupture is probably a bad word, but I could feel the vibration coming out of me. And so it was almost immediately that she was talking to me. And we've been going through, she's been really showing me on a deeper level what flow really means. And then, incidentally, the memorial service actually had about 75 people there. I didn't do anything to plan it. People came with DJs and chairs, and my mentor came down to officiate it and everything else, and there was about 75 people there. And then the MetLife balloon blimp flew over the top of it and hovered it over the memorial. And most people think, well, big deal, the MetLife balloon hovered over it, but I worked for MetLife. And it hovered over her picture for 15 minutes. Mm. And I was like, Mom, you're showing off. So the past 2 months, that's been a normal occurrence. Like, I'm looking for a car to go on tour. And I remember I was getting out of balance with it. I was not grounded with it. And I got in this one car, and then the navigation system popped up as soon as I started driving it, and it said Lori Lane, spelled exactly the way her first name was. And then I felt her presence in the car, and she said, just relax. All things come in divine timing and divine order. But I was in a panic because the car, both cars that were owned, were in her name. Because when I lost everything, she'd helped me get a car. Mm-hmm. And I was in this pressure. I felt this pressure of buying a new car really fast, and my was in my human side. And she said, just relax. You have to let the universe take care of things for you. All you have to do is sit by and ride the wave.
That is one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? Of just relaxing and letting the universe take care of it for you.
It is. And, you know, the experience of meeting you guys was so in the fold, because I think Helena had added me to your group. And I had gotten to the point where I just felt like Facebook groups had been all about just posting your content. And I think that's still a part of it, but I didn't see a lot of conversation in a lot of them. There was, but a lot of times they were arguing. And in your group, I feel like very connected with you guys. And that's only been, a couple weeks? And so it's like I got to the point where I was like, you know, Facebook is what I'm looking for. I'm looking to connect with other people. And then lo and behold, here you guys are.
So. And who was it that added you?
Helena Transcata.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I wanted to address, because I think this is really important, is a comment that your mother made to you and that you have done, is only if it's in your divine plan. Because too often we, as energy workers and healers, we send out healing energy to somebody without adding that caveat in, because not everybody is supposed to be cured physically. And the healing that has to take place really is whatever healing is in their divine plan, and not just a broken elbow or some other illness that's going on. So yeah. I'd like you to talk about that a little, if you would.
Well, I tell you what, I really learned that. It's like you know this stuff because it's taught to you and you experience it, but losing your mother, and I didn't really lose her, but losing her in the physical sense, really takes your ego through a lot, especially when she was 54 years old. And so we went through all this, and I remember driving. She was at this, I had called on Christmas. I had to call 911 because they had her over-medicated on pain medication. Mm. And so I went in with this little bit of arrogance and fear of, I'm a great healer, and I know tons of great healers such as yourself. And so I was like, Mom, we're gonna beat this, and da-da-da-da. So here I am trying to beat the cancer. And I remember one day I got a call at work, and the doctor said, Jeremy, or Mr. McDonald, you need to come in because I think she might have a tumor in her brain. And she didn't end up having a tumor in her brain, but I remember driving there, and I called a friend of mine, and I was crying, and I was like, what the hell did God teach me all this stuff for if I can't save my own mother? Mm. And I was really deep into it. And so then I walked in to Mom, and I heard what the doctor had to say, and then Mom looked at me and she says, honey, I need you to leave because, you know, I need to have a private moment. So I walked out into the waiting room, and I started crying, and I thought to myself, what do you teach other people? And I thought to myself, I am being a victim here at the moment. It's not that crying and grieving is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that I was mad mm-hmm. because I couldn't save her. And so then I sat back and I worked on balancing myself and saying, okay, guide me. And when I said that, I heard, go in there and tell your mother that you guys are not victims, and that whatever happens, happens, it'll all be in the divine plan. And so I went and I sat down, and I had told her how proud I was to be her son and how much I loved her, and that I was being a victim, and we couldn't be a victim here. And she grabbed my hand, and she said, I'm not a victim, dear. If I pass away, it's because it was the right time. And she goes, but I'm not really passing away. I'm transitioning. And she goes, you know that death is not the end. And so I went, and we started looking at this, and I started really paying attention. And when she transitioned just before, the day before, she says, Jared, I'm dying with no regrets. I know I'm loved, and I know for a fact that I had a great life, and I am proud of you, and I am proud of my life. And so then she immediately started talking to me, and so I realized, well, wait a second. Sometimes we're doing the healing work because we're helping their soul transition and make the transition easier. Mm-hmm. So this is really soul work. And the physical body is just an experience. We're busy trying to save it, but what we want to do is help them transition to whatever their soul's choice is. And so if we're blocking that by trying to use our energy to force it to them to stay here, then we're not working in their soul purpose. And because she was a hospice nurse, she had another patient that was 108 years old, and her son was in his 80s. And every time she'd say, I think God has forgotten about me. And her son would say, don't you want to stay with me for a little bit longer?
Oof.
And she would stay, and she finally died at 108.
Wow. And
she would cry. My mom would go in and hold her hand because she would cry, and she thought God had forgotten her.
Oh, my gosh.
And so when I let her go and I looked at Mom, you know, and then we spent the next week and a half watching movies and laughing and remembering all the good times that we had and going through things that maybe hurt us before, and And mom called people on the phone and told them that she was sorry and told them that she loved them. And she let go of everything and let go of all that hurt and sorrow inside of her. She transitioned. And incidentally, 2 years beforehand, she had had a near-death experience because she had had a heart attack. And so what I would like to say to healers out there is just go with your heart, because your heart will take you through every emotion, even if you're trying to help somebody you love. But you're just a conduit for energy.
Right.
And just let the universe guide you, because you could be healing them to, I mean, you could be healing a family member and they could be ascending into a master state. And how beautiful is that? That you help somebody that you love go to a state that, whatever we want to call it, go to a heightened state of awareness as a soul. And that's incredible.
Yeah, it took me a while to understand that when I was working with a client, mainly with Reiki. And she was, a young woman. She was beginning of her 30s, and she had breast cancer. And she was fighting a hard fight, and she was very much willing to fight this disease and everything else. And she didn't believe in anything like Reiki or spiritual stuff. So we just talked about it, and I said to her, well, you know, if you want to try it, try it. But I wasn't trying to evangelize her or anything. I just explained to her about Reiki, and that's it. And at some stage she said, okay, let's give it a try. So, that was when she was diagnosed again after everything looked okay, and she was 34 years old then, and it wasn't just breast cancer anymore. She had tumors that had grown everywhere in her spine. So the diagnosis was getting worse and worse and faster. Everything was speeding up so much. And then she decided to come on a regular basis for the Reiki sessions, because for whatever reason she enjoyed them. And I accepted the fact that I don't have to explain anything to her. We don't have to talk about what's happening. It's just she takes what she can take, and I just keep myself out of it. She did die physically. And right afterwards, she visited with all of us, with my family, with my daughter, and with all of our friends, with her husband and everything else. So what I understood then is, and this is what I teach when I do Reiki classes as well, which have changed over the years content-wise, because it's all about the essence really. But what happens sometimes is whatever modality we use when we work with our healing abilities, healing the soul might mean that the physical body is going, is leaving.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
But that's quite hard for the mind, for the ego. I'm not so sure which one really to accept sometimes, because of the way we are used to this death topic, that death is the end. And this is slowly changing now, that death is looked at as a transition, because the soul is infinite and the soul is continuing to thrive after the body leaves this planet, this earth. It's slowly growing, and more and more people are openly sharing transition experiences of their loved ones, which I really appreciate, not as a public relations thing or something. It's just when it's truly shared and when it's authentically shared with the love that is connected to this. This is so much healing in itself for so many people. And for that, Facebook, for example, is beautiful.
Yeah.
I think some of what we have to recognize is the difference between healing and a cure. Curing somebody's physical body is not healing that a healing experience for that person necessarily. So there is a big difference there.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, define healing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I totally agree, and I knew that, of course. But then I was bringing my friend, who's a Harvard graduate from medical school, and a holistic doctor to come and see mom, and all that kind of stuff. And finally, with all the Chinese herbs, and I looked at mom, and I had to look at her, because I had to really practice what I preached about letting go. And I said, when the oncologist, which she finally saw an oncologist, she spent 2 weeks in a hospital not seeing an oncologist. But this hospital was like a Marriott, a five-star Marriott. So she was comfortable and safe. and all of her family members got to see her. So, you know, in a way, it was a blessing, because when the oncologist finally saw her, she said, there's nothing I can do. She says, your mom, it's time for her to go. And once I looked at mom, I said, do you still want to take the holistic approach and do the Chinese herbs? And she says, Jara, I just think it's time to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And she passed away within 36 hours.
And, that sounds like a very wise woman. I'm amazed your mother died so young, transitioned so at such a young age, but the wisdom that you're talking about is phenomenal.
Well, she, our family, the biggest thing happened to her is when she had her heart attack 2 years prior, and she had her near-death experience. And so she came back and she says, Jer, we spend too much time in life being angry at other people and worrying about the little things. Mm. Time for us to just experience. And it was kind of the coolest thing in the world, because she said, what do you think I should go do next? I said, I don't know. You have to figure that out on your own. And so she cashed in her 401k and she bought a fifth wheel. And for a year and a half, she lived up. And I mean, she did work as a nurse again for a while, but she basically lived up with her family in Minnesota on a lake in her fifth wheel. And, got to spend time with her nieces and nephews that were young, and got to get close to her brother and sister that she never really knew. And so she got to live this life in the last 2 years of just not worrying about it, and something that we all want. And it's incredible. And what I've learned from this and what she taught me, and I hopefully will teach other people, is that just enjoy every moment in the now. And you never know when something is going to change. But then you appreciate that change too. And it's a lot different than I don't know where your guys' spiritual journey started, but back years ago when I was studying law of attraction and all that kind of stuff, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But it's hard to put into words, because there's spirit is so tremendous. And it's such a great feeling that, you know, even though I wrote a book, it was even hard to put that 42,000 words into a concept for people to read, because mm-hmm. really we need to experience this.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
That's why I was barbecuing the other day. I asked us to put down what we do. I was like, well, what am I going to put down? And so I finally sat. It was funny when I sat down and wrote it, like a whole paragraph came out. And I was like, wow. Because you have to let spirit write it.
Well, I have one more question for you, Jeremy, and then we're going to have to kind of come to a close here, because our time is getting short. But my question for you is, if you have a particular spiritual practice that you find is most effective or most valuable for you.
My meditation is my biggest spiritual practice. And every day I sit for at least an hour, and sometimes up to 2 or 3 hours, in meditation. And I do an open-eyed meditation where I sit and I process the entire day, and I do all my prayers and stuff like that. But I look at every reaction I have and everything that was looking at me. And the key thing is that if you said something that got to me and I got a reaction out of it, I would spend that time looking at it and say, if I got upset, where am I feeling small? Why did I get upset about that? Because your opinion is your opinion. And me getting upset with you is not a form of me loving myself in my practice. And so I would look at that projection and bring it back into myself and look at that reaction. And almost 99.9% of the time, I find that when I get upset with you, there is a constriction that happens inside of my body. So basically blocking flow of chi or life force energy in your body. So to me, the outside world, the inside world is how my outside world manifests. So if I'm reacting to something, then that's constricting inside of me, and that means I'm having constriction on the outside of me. So my practice and my meditation is to look at everything in my inner world and see where I'm still looking at the outward projection and letting that affect me. And so, like, this whole conversation we've had has been totally in flow. and we're having a great conversation amongst between continents, which is so cool to me. And
yeah.
And so, but we're not even continents. We're just connecting between souls. And so tonight I'll go and I'll process this energy that's flowing through me, and I don't know if you guys are feeling it as well, but in reality, we're just souls coming together. And so my biggest practice is just to process my life and sit in meditation and get still and look at it, because to me, this is a big experience, and it's an experience of the soul.
So what would you recommend to somebody who doesn't have 1 or 2 or 3 hours to sit in meditation, or doesn't take that? They don't feel they have that amount of time.
I would just take 10 minutes, and there's a little exercise that I do in the beginning of almost every one of my speeches, and I have them stand up, and I have them stand with their feet about shoulder length, and I have them say in their heart, and I have them drop their consciousness in their heart, and then breathe through their nose and out through their nose, and they say connect in their mind, and then they ground, and then I have them balance both earth and source energy into their heart, and then I let them fall into what is called a wave. And what happens is that when you let go, because you're so relaxed, your body's going to start moving around and swaying. And it's what the Chinese in Qigong would call Wuji. And they're in this energy. And I've never found in a class where somebody couldn't do it. And even outside of the classes. So my suggestion is just take 5 minutes to be connected, grounded, and balanced in your heart, and just say, what are my lessons for the day?
Okay.
And
good.
Then allow your spirit to tell you.
Very nice.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Jeremy, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, to find out more about what you do, to get a hold of your book, et cetera, do you have a website that they can go to?
Yeah, my main website for my stuff is www.jeremymcdonald.net. And all my contact information on there, the link to the publisher is on there for the book. The link to my radio show is on there. So everything is on there.
So it's jeremymcdonald.net.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can obviously find Jeremy on Facebook as well, in our online group, The Soul Healing Circle, and your radio show is called Soul Talk Radio, and I believe you have a Facebook page for that as well, Jeremy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. So we came up, what we normally do in every show is an affirmation, and we were so engrossed in talking now that we never came up with the affirmation, and I believe, Jeremy, you had a suggestion, so let me just say this affirmation, because I think that works really well with the meditation and the exercise that the practice that you were just explaining. I awaken to and live my passion.
Oh, I love that.
I awaken to and live my passion. And with this, we are going to end the show today. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you, Jeremy, for being our guest. Let's all connect again on Facebook. And let's talk soon again, Jeremy. Thank you for taking the time and stepping out of your meeting. And good luck with the next step on your career path, on your soul path.
Mm-hmm. And maybe stop by Purpose Talk Radio and on Facebook and just give a little hello to everybody. Of course, we'll see them in the Soul Healing Circle as well.
Okay.
And
I will do.
Remember, everybody else, you can find us at PurposeTalkRadio.com, where you can hear the archives of any of the recorded shows, the past shows, and you can also find us on Facebook at Purpose Talk.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you guys have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you soon on Facebook or at another time.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.